This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for the Player Spotlight here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. And joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline is the long snapper and the man with the mind in that locker room, talking about Tyler Ott with us. Tyler, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's good to talk to you. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm curious, as I think most people know, you went to Harvard. So are you the guy that everybody comes to for advice in life and in financial decisions and world problems? It feels like you'd be the default for anybody in that locker room.
Well, I don't know if most people know I go to Harvard, but I would say, yeah, you know, amongst a few other guys in the locker room, I'm always good for a little nugget now and then.
So in choosing Harvard, was that, you know, most people with aspirations to make it to the NFL, they're looking at Alabama, they're looking at, you know, Ohio State, one of the big programs. I don't know what your options were, but what in choosing a school like that, what was the mindset and as it relates to your NFL future?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was recruited by a handful of, like, small D1 schools, Tulsa, like SMU, Houston, Air Force type of schools like that. And then once a couple of Ivy Leagues came calling with some letters and stuff, I was always kind of big into academics. You know, that's why you're going to college, I guess, playing football. And then once Harvard came calling and then they offered me, Tim Murphy, the head coach, he just said, you know, if you say no to us, you have to give me a reason of a good reason for saying no to Harvard. And so once that's on the table, there's really nothing you can say no to Harvard for. So it was an easy decision after that. I mean, best school in the world and, you know, a winning football program, you know, with a head coach that was going to be there for your whole time. You know, it's just there's a lot of good stuff lining up. And, you know, always dreamed of playing in the NFL, obviously. Used to play tight end, so I dreamed of, you know, scoring touchdowns and doing, you know, all the glory of being that guy. But, you know, I'm pretty happy with my long snapping career now, too. I think I can play for a pretty long time and have a nice long career doing that.
Yeah, you should be happy, Tyler. You're a Pro Bowler last year. How cool is that, man? I mean, it was kind of a bummer there was no game, right? But, I mean, congratulations on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, that was it was a crazy time. You know, bittersweet. You know, awesome to get recognized as a Pro Bowler, and then bitter that they didn't have a game to experience it with. You know, all the you know best players in the NFL. You know, it's kind of what you dream of, and you see the Pro Bowl game, and you hope to be there one day and hanging out with all those guys. But hopefully, you know, keep doing what I'm doing and be consistent, and maybe I'll get recognized again here in the future.
As far as being a long snapper, you talked about being a tight end, wanting to catch touchdowns. How does that conversion happen? And I'm wondering if now you look at it and go, you know what? That's probably a good move on my part, because I would imagine as a long snapper, you've got maybe a longer career in the league than anybody except a kicker. I mean, you know, you're not taking the beating that a tight end or a running back or a receiver would take.
Yeah. Well, I was actually snapping pretty much the whole time I was playing tight end. Growing up, I was always overweight, you know, for Mighty Might and Pee Wee football to be a ball carrier. So I was actually playing offensive line, D-line. And then once I got to middle school, converted to tight end and started snapping. And then when I got to high school, I actually had a coach that, you know, knew how to coach snappers, Carl Johnston. And he gave me the fundamentals and the foundation of it and just kind of kept on going from there. And I'll say it was funny. I got recruited as a tight end to Harvard. And I obviously put on my highlight tape that I was a long snapper as well and featured that. And I got there for, you know, training camp, spring ball, first year as a freshman, and they were like, all right, specialists are going out early. Everyone else, you know, however long, 20 minutes till we go out. I was like, you guys want me to snap? And the special teams coach was like, you can snap? So he had me snap one to him in the locker room. He was like, yeah, why don't you go outside with the specialist? So, and then from then I was snapping in college, and Yeah, I mean, I was playing tight end all through college and then just got to towards the end, and I knew I really wasn't going to make it as a tight end. And, you know, there's, you know, you can make a really nice long career out of snapping. So it was an easy decision to make, and just, you know, stuck with it, and here I am.
Tyler, I think I saw you chatting a little bit with Juszczyk, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You probably keep track of your fellow Harvard guys in the NFL. How many?
Oh, man, right now I think there's 5 active and then a handful on P-Squads.
Yeah.
And, obviously get to see Kyle Juszczyk a couple times a year. I've been trying to collect all the Harvard jerseys as we run into each other. So I think I got almost all of them after into Fitzy and then Ferkser with the Titans. So we got, I think there's like, including me, there's like 4 tight ends that came out of Harvard that 3 are playing tight end and Juszczyk as a fullback, but me as a snapper. So something about the tight ends coming out of Harvard have proved to do well in the NFL. Yeah.
You guys compare grade point averages?
That's a nerd joke, Tyler. He does that to me because I went to Stanford, and it's, you know, but that's a compliment, right?
Everybody always likes to say they're, you know, the Harvard of the Pacific Northwest or the Harvard of the South.
Yeah.
So, I don't compare any GPAs. I just know that I went to Harvard.
You're the standard. Everybody else is measured by you. So that's a good place to be.
Well, let me ask you this, Tyler, really quick, because I went to Stanford, and so everybody would always come to me and go, well, you went to Stanford. And if I didn't know it, you know, and like, I don't know, like, your tax bracket or whatever, like everybody, well, he went to Stanford, so, you know, I'm going to ask him. And if you don't know something, then they're like, oh, you know, you're not for real. You ever get, you get any of that?
Yeah, I definitely get some questions. I was an econ major, so I always get some kind of question about, you know, what economists do you relate with the most? So I'm like, I don't know. That was like 9 years ago that I was in college. So.
Hey, you know, you were involved in an interesting play that I don't think any of us had ever seen. And Dave played in the league for almost a decade. He had never seen it. And that was the double punt. As that was happening, what was going through your mind? Were you thinking, okay, can I run? Did you know the rule? Like, I can run downfield. I can't run downfield. Just that it was mayhem, and everybody was trying to figure out, was that legal? Everybody's scratching their head and trying to figure out what was going on. Being on the field, what was that like?
Yeah, it was. It was mayhem. So we had discussed it a couple years ago. Like, you know, what happens if a punt's blocked? Can Dixon pick it up and punt it again? And the answer was yes, but, you know, there wasn't a lot of clarity on, like, the men downfield or what exactly the penalty might be. So in the play, the dreaded double thump of the punt getting blocked. So I spin around to look for the ball and just see Dixon running for it. And without hesitation, I knew he was going to try and pick it up and run for it. So I just went to try and go block for him. Ended up just giving him a little time to then get the punt off, and ended up going, you know, 68 yard, whatever it was, 60-something yards. Crazy play, mayhem. And then afterwards, I don't know if anybody knew what was going on. I was trying to listen into the ref's huddle. They were talking about illegal man downfield, double kick. They didn't know what was going on until, I guess, you know, they ended up clarifying it with New York, the NFL officiating. And then we just got, you know, the longest punt of the year and probably one of the craziest plays in Dixon's career, next to him running out of the end zone against the Lions his rookie year.
Yeah. Well, and we talked to him the other day, and afterwards I was like, I might have to ask Pete about that. But he basically indicated to us that Pete has kind of given him the green light. So he's a good enough athlete to, you know, that they're not going to question him. What do you think about that? You think he's overestimating his status with Pete?
I mean, you saw him scoop up that ball one-handed. I think
that's amazing.
I think he kind of proved that he has the ability to make something happen. And you know, Pete's always been a guy that if you see something to take advantage of, take your shot. And you know, Dixon kind of proved that, you know, with the Detroit first down on the fake punt. So if you can, hey, if it works out, it's amazing. If not, you know, you took your shot, you thought you had it. So
yeah. Yeah, he's a great athlete. He really is.
So. Yeah. It's amazing how well that worked out. Longest punt of the year on the second try in the same play. It's amazing.
Right, so. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. It negated the block punt and, you know, and flipped the field for us. So you love that. You hate to see a block punt go down on the stat sheet. So save the day for sure.
Well, Tyler, we appreciate you taking some time, and we wish you obviously nothing but the best this Monday night. Hopefully we're walking away with a W in this one, and we appreciate you doing it, man. Best of luck coming up Monday night.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
There you go. There's Tyler Ott. So we got the trifecta of special teams, the key to kicking for this team. We had the punter, the kicker, and the long snapper, which would be, I would think, I mean, I know we've had some old kickers, like Morton Anderson was about 79 years old before he retired. But it would seem long snapper might be the next best position to play in terms of longevity.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think so. Yeah. Remember, we brought back a guy named Jeff Robinson. It was back in like 2007 or 8, and I'd played with him in Denver.
Yeah.
And I think he was like a year retired, into retirement. But, yeah, we were talking about the weird rules in – Did people really text in and go, how did you guys not know that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, by people, I mean like one goofball who likes to text. You know, I knew that. How did you not know? He was, you know, it that happens with anything.
The double punt.
You'd never seen it.
Yeah. You know, and there's one called a free shot. So if you're on the return team of a punt and somebody touches the ball but doesn't secure it, you know, the guy coming down to, you know, to down the punt.
Team.
Yeah, the punting team. And they hit it or it touches them. You can pick that ball up with no repercussions whatsoever.
If you fumble it.
Yeah, yeah. You could run to the, you know, 1 yard line. You could do whatever. You fumble, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's going to come back there because it's called an illegal touch by the coverage team. So, and even I saw a guy try one time even to, as the returner was handing the ball to the official, he tried to go and intercept it, like take it like a handoff. But I mean, you've seen that before, and people all the time will go, oh, look at that idiot. What's he doing? Why would he try to return that? It's because it's a free shot.
Yeah.
You have no, there's no repercussions whatsoever if, you know, if you, even if you fumble it. So yeah, there's some weird rules, but man, that one. I mean, somebody was like, have you ever seen that before? I'm like, of course not.
Nobody
has. Nobody's seen that before. But the one thing that was interesting as far as, you know, brushing up on the rules and everything is that any part of your body can be, beyond every part of your body can be beyond the line of scrimmage. But if you have anything that's touching the line of scrimmage, like I think it was this heel
your foot,
or
yeah,
his foot or his elbow or
you're
whatever.
Good.
He's good to
so
go.
The ball can be past the line of scrimmage.
Right.
And we've seen that with quarterbacks and making a throw and things like that. But it's just, I'd never seen that before. And it's funny to hear players on the field going, yeah, I didn't know what was going on and nobody knew what was going on. And
well, the official on the broadcast, I think, said, no, you can't kick it
twice. He was wrong.
Right.
He was wrong. I mean, you had the announcers that were like, deferring to their expert. The expert, he was very definitive in the way he said it.
And then once
the ruling came out, he's like, well, I'm going to have to go back and look at that because it was.
If I was him, I would be like, I'm sorry, you guys are breaking up.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I can't hear you.
Yeah, that was a fun play, right? Yeah.
Well, the other guy we had, though, was Cody Barton also.
Yeah.
So, you know, talk about your special team quadruple there, I guess.
I think we covered special teams this week. Yeah. We'll see what they do next week.
Yeah.
We'll go through the coaching staff. I'm not sure. But, it feels like baseball lends itself more to that plays you've never seen despite how long you've been watching the sport.
Yeah.
It feels like baseball is more prone to those moments. Like, you ever seen something like that? I was like, no, I haven't seen that before. But
what was the thing this year? There was something about the ball hit and went out of bounds, but it hit in the batter's box. Remember that this year?
Yeah.
There was
how about the Rays Red Sox in the playoffs where it bounced off the wall and then off of Hunter
the player
Renfrew,
over the ground rule double.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
That's one I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Never hit the wall, bounced up, hits the player, and bounces over the fence.
Right.
And everybody's going, well, what is that? What does that mean? What do we do now? So baseball feels like it lends itself to those moments that you're going, I've never seen that before. But, that was pretty cool. That was definitely pretty cool. So we'll see what it takes this weekend, or this week, I should say, or next week, actually. It's a Monday night game. So only show in town. We've talked about the record. Do you put anything into that? I know people love to say, boy, the record in primetime. Look at what they've done with Pete Carroll in primetime, and it is a good record. Is that, you look at that as happenstance, or do you look at that as, hey, he just knows how to get the best out of his players when the lights are the brightest and they're the only show in town? How do you view, is that just one of those things, sort of like things that just get said? Is that just one of those goofy stats that just...
I think so. I mean, whenever we get the notes for, going into the broadcast, and Brian O'Connell does a great job of pulling everything out of the media guide and put it in like four pages of notes, but there's always the Seahawks are 35-13. The other one was... what were they, like 54-0 when they have a 4-point lead at halftime?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but especially the primetime thing doesn't make sense, because Pete is always preaching that you treat every single game the same. But these, and to the guys, honestly, it's like you're the only game that's on right now. So, and I remember especially when I played that, Monday Night Football, all the guys were out on Monday night. Like, football players would go out to bars and stuff because Tuesday's off.
Right.
But they would go out and enjoy themselves. And a lot of times we would end up, watching a Monday night football game. I remember Jacob Green screaming out about, we were watching John Elway, and he's like, there goes that freak, watching John Elway scramble around and stuff. But, yeah, that was, you knew that your peers were watching you.
Was there a different intensity to it, or a different anticipation? I know you used to get very worked up and nervous and throw up before games, but was it worse before a primetime game?
You know what? By the time, I got as a starter, well, I think I told you I threw up in that first game that I started in Denver. It was the Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all I could get down was Fruit Loops.
And Technicolor. Yeah,
I threw that up in a garbage can on the way out to the field. But I decided afterwards, but I was like, first of all, I ditched my mouthpiece.
Gag reflex.
Yeah. And then, the other thing was that I just decided I can't puke before every game. This is ridiculous. We got to get control of this. So I did. But, yeah, I mean, you're always nervous and, that kind of stuff and fired up. But it's not it wasn't crippling.
Because I wonder if it's not as special now because you've got three opportunities. You've got Monday Night Football, which is the longstanding tradition, but they didn't have Thursday Night Football when you were playing, or Sunday Night Football.
I think they had Sunday at the very end.
Did
at
they?
The very end of my career. I think it was 94, 95.
Is when Sunday Night Football
That's what I recall, but I'll have to check it out. But maybe somebody will text it in.
But maybe that takes away some of the, my goodness, we're the only show in town. Well, you've got three opportunities now to be that team on Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night.
Kind of dilutes it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Monday Night Football used to be a huge deal.
That was the thing. The music, Howard Cosell.
We had a Monday Night Football game when I was in Denver, and there was this guy named Darren Drozdov who – ended up getting paralyzed in a wrestling accident, but he was called the Draws, and he was a nose guard for us, and some people might recognize him when he was with, what's the WWE or whatever, the...
WWF.
WWF, yeah. Anyway, I'll make this quick, but he was a nose guard. Our nose guard got hurt. It was Greg Cragen, who was fantastic. So this guy was a rookie, Darren, really good guy. And his thing was he would puke before almost every play, like in practice. He would get so nervous and wound up. Well, during the week, all of a sudden Greg Cragen goes down, and he's going to be starting on Monday Night Football. So they were like, okay, and he's out at practice puking his brains out constantly.
Oh, man.
So they send him to like a psychiatrist. And, and then he was all during the week, he had these – his Walkman on, and he's like, the sky is blue, the water is calm, there's no wind. He had this whole thing
I'm at peace.
Yeah, so it looked like it was going to work, and I'm like, this is the dude that's like playing in front of me, man. What's going on here? So anyway, we get in the stadium. It's a Monday Night Football game in Kansas City, and we come back in the locker room after warming up, and it sounded like there was a war going on out there. They were shooting off fireworks and people stomping and everything, and it was kind of quiet, and all you could hear was him over there going, the sky's blue, the water is blue, and he starts puking all over. And so, you know, and he did it a couple times on the field, and then he got through it, and then he was okay.
At some point, there's nothing there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
He's just dry heaving everywhere.
But, I mean, this is a kid who, you know, all of a sudden gets thrown in the fire. He's probably been watching Monday Night Football his whole life.
Yeah.
And knowing now, all of a sudden, as a rookie, I'm going to go in there and, you know, play. And so, yeah, you have to get to a point where it doesn't just, like, entirely cripple you.
Do you remember who the announcers were? When you played on Monday Night Football, would you go back and watch the TV copy?
Yeah, I do remember. I want to say it was Frank Gifford. And was he on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say Frank Gifford. I can't remember who the other guys were. But, I mean, I remember meeting with those guys. Remember Trumpy and Cricky?
Don Trumpy.
Yeah, Don Cricky and Bob Trumpy. Seemed like we got them all the time. So, you know, it, like now, you go into those meetings, you know, and... Who's the nicest guy in the world? I'm trying to remember his name. Dick Enberg was the nicest guy in the world. Yeah. So anyway, you'd always say really nice things about you if you went in and met with them and talked to them. And
would they just give a list like, hey, we'd like to speak to Wyman, we'd like to speak to Elway, we'd like to speak. So they'd just request a handful of players.
Yep. Exactly. So, you know, and it wasn't every week for me. Obviously, it was like, you know, 3-4 times a year. So I got a chance to meet a lot of those guys. That's how I got to know Joe Theismann. Mm. Joe Theismann was really cool, but he would come and do our games. And
then go use the hot tub and
hang out, take a shower. He's in the steam room.
Just walking through the locker room naked. Yeah. What's up, boys?
Exactly. Hey, I don't want to see my play-by-play guy naked, okay?
Oh, so funny.
But no, he was just such a cool guy. But yeah, Monday Night Football is, I think it's still a big deal to these guys. And you know, that's why that one doesn't make sense, though, long story short, because you know, if they treat them like everything else, they are special. They are something different. But why are they so successful? Do you think it's because they don't get too hyped up and they
It's probably more like, it. If Pete's consistent in his message of, hey, this is just like a Sunday afternoon game, a 1 p.m. game or a 10 a.m. game, whatever it is, this is like any other game, and if that's just drilled into them over and over and over, maybe they do play with a different level of composure and calm in those primetime games that other teams, you know, they're hyped up and maybe they're tense and we can't screw up. The world's watching. Everybody else in the league is watching. You know, I could see that being a very easy trap to fall into, understanding all eyes are on us now.
Well, especially if you're like a young guy from the, you know, I told that story about Rufus Porter the other day. Like, he's a small town guy. You know, and you're young, and now all of a sudden you're on Monday Night Football. It's like you're a superstar, and, you know, the bright lights are on you. You know, and that's the other thing. You get there, and there's like 16 cameras instead of like 4.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a big production.
All right. Coming up, is the Legion of Boo motivated to change that narrative? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Mean Text. It's how we close out every week here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. You guys can text in whenever you'd like throughout the week, 206-421-3776. That's 206-421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So we'll unveil your creative works in about 15 minutes or so. And some good ones have already come in. Some people have gotten creative. They have not taken your advice to hammer on Lefko, though.
Oh.
It feels like you've taken more of the brunt.
That's what I get. I should.
Yeah. But you will do that coming up. Meanwhile, Legion of Boo. That caught you more than anybody. I certainly saw it and kind of went, that's funny. And then just sort of moved on. But it didn't really think about it from a player's perspective of, A, they're going to see it, whether it's a friend, a family member, or they I wonder how many of these guys will record TV copy. Because you're looking at different film as a player. You're not getting the broadcast we all watch.
Right.
But I'm wondering how many of them will have it on the DVR when they get home just to see, you know, what was Aikman saying about me? Mm. What was Buck saying about, or whoever happens to be on the call? Like, all right, let me see if I'm getting called out, or how did that look to the people at home? I'm wondering how many players do that.
Yeah.
And then see that particular graphic up there.
Yeah, well, especially that. But I do remember that kind of stuff. I was just telling you a story about Merlin Olsen. He kind of ripped me for a late hit that I had. It was on Jim McMahon when he was in San Diego playing for the Chargers, and after the penalty was picked up and everything, Jim started chatting with me because we had a mutual friend. He's like, "Hey, you talk to Kenny Marjoram anymore?" I was really mad.
This is right after the play?
Right after the flag, so he wasn't mad at me. But Merlin Olsen, you know, said it was dumb, and then one of my teammates kind of called him out on it. And yeah, I mean, I think you probably do that. So, but yeah, I remember that not feeling great. And so that's why when I saw that graphic the other day, I was like, whoa. I mean, and also it had Quandre Diggs there. Now, look, whether Bobby has been playing poorly or not up to standard or whatever is, you know, it's kind of up in the air. People are being very critical of Jamal Adams because he just signed a big contract. But Quandre Diggs, come on. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know why he was in there. I mean, he's got two interceptions, you know. And also, but the other thing is they probably went, okay, let's put the three Pro Bowlers on this team. And it's funny, Bob, because we were talking about, you know, every team has about three guys. And who are the recognizable guys? It's those three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that from if you're from another NFL city, you know, yeah, Wagner.
Maybe
you,
Dunlap would be in
there. Yeah, maybe Carlos. Yeah, but other than that, not really. So they put them in there, and I don't know, maybe it'll be some kind of a motivating factor for them. The one thing I don't want to hear is that, see, I told you we could be good. It's like, well, okay, but let's get going. Let's do it, you know, week in and week out. I just think there were some good signs last week, though.
Yeah, I mean,
it might be fixed.
I'm glad they didn't set the record. We talked about they tied the record four consecutive games of, what was it, 450 plus in yards allowed, and yeah. So that tied a handful of other teams. And if they had done it a fifth time, they would have been standing alone with that record. So that was good to see. They didn't achieve that record. They lost the game, and I'm still torn about, you know, how much of a moral victory was it that I'm going to look at this and go, well, yeah, they lost, and they are 2-4. And when you look at the standings, you see them in dead last in the NFC West. But hey, they play better. I felt conflicted with that. Yes, it's obvious it was a better effort, certainly in the second half. You had individuals that really had good days, and Collins, and we made the odd case that might have been, you know, Jamal Adams' best game, most impactful, had a tackle for a loss, and he just seemed to be used more in the way he was last year when he was impactful, and then the ball bounces off his face mask. You know, which kind of washes away everything else. So there were definite positive signs, but I'm looking at the bottom line of it going, yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah.
They're still 2-4. And now you're facing a team that I think is a tougher task. Now it's at home, which is better, but I still think it's a tougher task based on the numbers, based on what this team has been doing in the Saints. So we'll see what happens with it, but it just, I don't know, it was hard to walk away from it going, yeah, they lost, but.
Yeah. I guess, you know, and my mindset wasn't, oh, the whole moral victory thing. It was just that I thought they were going to get blown out because I just was so discouraged after that Rams game. And some of the, you know, like I said, universal problems, like universal, you know, rules that you just don't violate on defense, you know, whether it's jumping underneath stuff or not going to your gap or not reading the guards, not reading the linemen. You know, those kinds of things that will happen. That was wrong in all 32 NFL cities. You know, so that's the part that was where I was kind of pleasantly surprised that they didn't get blown out. But now all of a sudden, you know, you're in a tough position. You know, they have to win these next couple games, and if you go, you know, this would be what, 2-5. Now all of a sudden you're getting into the hard part of your schedule because you got Green Bay. You got Arizona still on there twice. You got the Rams and 49ers. I mean, there's a Detroit Lions game in there, but shoot, other than, you know, Jacksonville, you know, that's a pretty rough schedule going the rest of the way.
Don't they have to come up with some sacks? Sacks? Don't they? I mean, I'm looking.
It takes a group effort to prevent sacks.
But you look at it, they've got a total as a team of 11 sacks through six games.
Yeah.
They're barely above that pace of what would they end with, 28 year before last?
19.
And this is within a 17 game season now. So they're just trending, I think, just a touch above that.
That's right.
And you've got one guy who's got more than one. I mean, You've got Rasheem Green has one. Jordan Brooks has one. Al Woods, Benson Mayoa, Alton Robinson, Bobby Wagner, all one apiece, and then Daryl Taylor with four.
Yeah.
You know, you don't – a couple of omissions there. You don't have your leading sack artist from last year, Jamal Adams. He doesn't have one yet. Guys that you brought in, Dunlap, he doesn't have a sack yet. Hyder doesn't have a sack yet. I mean, that's just that seems to be a very big part of what you were expecting to happen as a collective that's not happening right now.
Yeah, and I still blame a lot of it on coverage. And you heard the professor talking about, you know, the ball coming out quick from Ben Roethlisberger. There's just no time to get there. But, you know, you got to cover guys up. And, you know, that's another thing that hasn't been happening this year. So, yeah, it's that sacks are a big play, man. You know, and we talked about the 28 sacks that they had in 2019. There was no touchdown scored on every one of those. I went through every series where they had a sack. Few of them, but still, never a touchdown scored after a sack on that series. So that, and I don't mean for the whole game. I just mean in that series where they got a sack, no touchdowns were given up by the Seahawks defense. So it just indicates. And it's always been a huge play. Mm-hmm. You know, you go from you're at second and four, you know, and that's a really good position to be in. And all of a sudden you're at third and 14 because of a sack. I mean,
well, and imagine that in front of the home crowd on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You come up with a sack of Winston. That's going to be that place is going to just explode.
Right.
So it feels even bigger when you get it done at home in front of that fan base and that momentum. You just feel it in that building. So
but so weird that they're 0-2 at home this year, you know, and then, you know, the last game that they won was the Ram game. They lost at home in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Unheard of, you know, and then they go 4-4 in 2019. And then last year when there's in 2020, there's nobody there. They go 7-1 at home.
Yeah. It all makes sense. Perfect.
Oh, and the one loss to New York Giants. Your
Colt
favorite
McCoy. Boy. Colt McCoy, the Giants. All right. All right. Well, time to unveil your creative works. Mean text coming up. You still have a few minutes. 206-421-3776. That's 421-ESPN, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Mean text coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Everybody looks forward to this time. Maybe none more than our guy, Mike Lefkoe here.
You say that, but you guys look forward to it just as much.
Mike Lefkoe couldn't tell a Coca-Cola jelly bean from a Krispy Kreme donut jelly bean.
He couldn't?
You don't know how hurtful that is, actually. The listeners don't realize. It's a very mean text.
That was from the heart.
It was from the heart indeed. Yeah. See, he takes great pride in his ability to discern different tastes of jelly beans back there. He's been having a field day.
He does. I mean, he's good. I get a slow taster for whatever reason.
A slow taster.
I think there's the connection to the brain, maybe.
It takes a little while to figure it out.
It's old fashioned. It's like smoke signal.
Now, are you way off initially going, oh, this is cinnamon? No, that's grape.
No,
it's not even close.
I just get nothing. I'm like chewing. It's like Lefkoe eating the wax cheese. You know, I'm just chewing on
it. You can't process it. You're just
bland, yeah.
Eating and there's a taste.
I just loved you guys debating the jelly beans. You're like, I'm going to buy those and I'm going to separate all the flavors. I'm going to have them in different compartments so you know what you're getting. And Lefkoe's, no, that's the joy. That's the mystery. You got to dig for these things.
Yeah, it's because he has the hypersensitive taste buds.
Yeah.
I don't.
All right, what did we get, Lefkoe?
Well, a lot came on Wednesday, after you all recapped your adventures in parking and traveling to a concert in the modern era. So a couple of people had some fun with that. The 360 said, Dave, just grab some string, hang your phone up with a parking pass from the rearview mirror.
have the phone dangling from the rearview.
There we go.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Your phone's just
because I was showing everybody electronic ticket here.
Yes.
I just love from a distance. Is this the right pass? He's holding up the phone.
People are like 30 yards away. It was like bright green. I mean, they could see it.
So good.
I think you'll like this one, too, because, Dave, I know you're a fan of this guy. 360, Dave, how are the Dr. Rick commercial auditions going? After your discussion yesterday, I expect to see him on air soon.
I mentioned Dr. Rick because I did want to print out directions to go to the driving, the parking garage.
It'd been funny if we went in the garage. You're like, this is a good spot because we're going to be able to get out of here.
Yeah.
So be going date. Let's not talk about leaving before the show even starts, okay?
Were you helping people park and like navigate?
Yeah, yeah, bring it back. Bring guy? It back.
Yeah. Watch it. You're good.
You have to come up to him.
You don't know him.
You don't know him.
Yeah.
You don't know him.
Your rear left tire looks a little low. No, we didn't. We didn't do that.
206. Happy birthday to Lefko. Almost half of Stelton's age now.
Ah, yeah. Wow. I guess I'd have to be 66, right? You're 33.
You look really good.
I look good for 66, don't I?
I always said you look good for your age, which I don't even know what it is.
66.
66. 66. Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone said that. I don't know if this is a mean text or just a compliment, but they said 253. Bob. Totally thought you were a really old man. Had to look you up, and I see you're younger and pretty buff. Laughing emoji.
Wait, why the laughing emoji?
I don't know. I think they were very surprised.
Thought I was a really old man. I don't know. I have an old man voice, perhaps.
I don't know. I mean, that's a bad sign.
Here's one Jelly Belly related. I appreciate this. 425. Dave is the popcorn Jelly Belly of 710.
That hurts. That's terrible. That's terrible.
The burnt popcorn one, right? That's the worst.
Oh, the popcorn one is awful.
Is it?
It tastes like snot. It does.
Is it in that collection there?
It's back here.
Is it?
Yeah. All 49 flavors. They don't leave anything out.
So if it's universally hated, why are they putting that in
hang
there?
Hang on.
Oh, I don't know if it's universally hated, but it is by me.
Lefko's bringing the big jar.
Lefko, you don't like the popcorn either, right? Mike?
No, I don't like the popcorn either. Yeah, buttered popcorn. Toasted marshmallow. You could be the toasted marshmallow.
Toasted marshmallow is good.
Did you find the champagne one yet?
Have not yet.
Okay.
That's why you need to separate them. I'm telling you. You need to separate them into a little. My wife has these jewelry holders that has little beads, you know, little compartments. And then you can cut out the flavor and put it on the corresponding. Oh, I can't wait to do that.
We got our first mean text picture submission today. History was made.
I like that.
The 509.
History was made.
Here's a road in Yakima named Wyman Drive. It's short and dead end like Dave's career.
That was good. That's creative.
That is good stuff. And he even said, so he sent the picture.
Yeah.
It says Wyman Drive is the street
drive?
Sign. Wyman Drive.
Okay.
And he said it's short and a dead end.
It's too bad he didn't have the picture of the dead end sign right below it.
Now that's good. That's very good.
That was well done.
Somebody from the 206 says, your show is the Seahawks pass defense of sports talk radio.
Hey.
That's a cut. That's good.
360. Bob blames his relationship issues on his sports watching habits rather than his odd hours, his odd eating habits, and his germophobia.
I think those don't have anything to do with it. It's all about my TV watching.
Do you have odd eating habits?
Not really, I don't think.
Yeah.
I ate 3 donuts today.
Yeah.
I don't feel right.
I know. I was telling those guys when I came in, I ate that maple bar. I'm like, man, I'm sleepy.
I know.
I'm
really feeling a nap right now. That's too much.
A couple people made the smart connection when you were asking what sports guy in Seattle has kind of gone on, didn't have success here, was very disappointing, and then gone on to have success elsewhere.
Yeah.
Two of these on that subject, 206, Dave Wyman was an abject failure as a Seahawk, but went on to global prominence as a dazzling sports radio host.
Wow.
Yeah. and then the 206, Wyman, what a career arc from being leveled by Marino to a top-notch radio and TV sports star.
Being leveled by Marino.
Not leveled.
There's some video evidence.
And by the way, Dan Marino just accidentally ran into me. That's what happened.
he just became a human speed bump.
Yeah, he was just going to like the sidelines, running the sidelines, get off the field.
253 said, I just got back from a week in South Florida. You guys are almost as idiotic as those guys. I'm not sure which guys. Just
any guys,
any South Florida residents.
Anybody in South Florida.
They're always in the news. Florida man does this. Florida man does that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Florida's got that reputation of just if something just off the charts weird is happening, it's happening in Florida.
How long did you live in Florida, Lefko?
Almost 4 years. Yeah. Like 3.5, close to 4 years.
In Tampa?
Yeah.
It's like a retirement area, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of young people in the city, and then the closer you get to the water, the older they get.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It's hot. I remember I've been in Miami a few times, and I remember it being just scorching hot, yet you'd see people. There's a lot of Hasidic Jewish people down there.
In Miami?
Yeah.
No, I haven't spent much time
in
Miami.
And they would walk along the beach area with strollers and things like that, but in full black, head-to-toe garb, and it's like... It's like 92 with, 8,000% humidity, and they're wearing that. I'm like, that is brutal.
Bob, you requested this one specifically, so we'll get to that. 425, maybe Dave could continue to thrill the audience with pop culture references from the 1970s and very, 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 very early 80s. Maybe he can answer the question if you prefer Don Knotts or the Ropers on Three's Company.
Ropers. See?
I thought that was funny.
Kidding me?
And then I was reading it to Dave, and I said, what are the chances Lefko has any idea who Don Knotts, the Ropers, or Three's Company? Mm-hmm. And I asked him, and he's like, no idea.
So what was that Norman Fell?
Norman Fell.
I think Groz has a story about him. He met him on New Year's Eve.
And oh, really?
Like they had a couple beers together or something like that. I'm pretty sure. That was when Groz and I did the Brush with Greatness.
Yeah.
And then we brought Clayton in on it, and Clayton described the times that people came up to him to get his autograph. But it's like, I don't think he understood the assignment. Yeah. But
telling you times he was great.
Yeah, but it was it was the guy, Norman Fell.
Norman Fell, yeah. And he supposedly had a long-standing feud with Jack Klugman.
Yeah.
If you read about that, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, Groz went into that a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the nature of the feud?
I don't remember what supposedly started. Some were saying it was a put-on, that they were on it together, and others were saying, no, it was real, because I think Norman Fell died before Jack Klugman, and they said something about, they asked Jack Klugman, well, did you go to his funeral? And he says, yeah, I've never laughed so hard, or something like that, like some just cutting comment like that. And I was like, all right, is this real, or is this a put-on? But did you get this one, the guy that feels bad for you?
Yeah, I was about to read that to close it out.
Go ahead.
So we'll close with this one. 253. Feel bad for Lefko. I know the pain of teaching the elderly technology. It shocks me that Dave can do the show as late as it goes. It's well past the 4 p.m. senior dinner specials. I was about to lose it. Yeah. Sorry.
Teaching the elderly technology.
Those 4 p.m. senior discounts.
Oh, man. What do they call that? The special? The... 4 o'clock special or the...
Yeah, the early bird special.
The early bird special. Buffet, I'm missing the early bird special.
All right. That does it for us. Good stuff by you guys out there.
Happy birthday, Lefko.
Yeah, happy birthday to Lefko. Don't eat all that cheese this weekend. You'll not be able to go to the bathroom for
be
months.
Be bound up.
Yeah, you'll be a little bunched up. Thanks to our guest today, John Clayton, Tyler Ott, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's program, just head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that. And everything you missed is waiting there for you each and every day. We are going to turn you over to Game 6 of the ALCS between the Red Sox and the Astros. That is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Tuesday. We've got no show on Monday because the Seahawks pregame show will be happening in our time slot. So we will be talking to you on Tuesday, hopefully about a Seahawks win. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.